Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 23, like I said. This is a great psalm. Excited to study this with you. I just got back off my daughter's senior trip yesterday. If you want to know how old I feel, the crossroads between being a helicopter dad, which is what my kids call me, okay? Anytime I like have a question, they're like, I tell them that's called parenting, right? I'm like, I'm sorry your friends don't have parents, but you do have some. So that's a weird place, though, you know, senior trip, helicopter dad. It's a weird place, but it was fun. And while we were down there, I was working on my sermon. There's a 7-Eleven right across the street. It made me think about this old revival evangelist used to come to Circlewood. Every time I see a 7-Eleven, I think about this. He would talk about these churches that sing these 7-Eleven choruses, these songs that have seven words, and they repeat them 11 times. You know, that kind of deal. So every time I see a 7-Eleven, I think about that. But look, Psalm 23 is not a 7-Eleven chorus, okay? It is quite possibly the greatest song ever written, one of the most famous songs ever written. And I think we should approach it with a lot of confidence that the Lord has something for us. I'm going to read it for us again. I know we just read it, but I'll read it for us again here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over," right? It overflows. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And look, I need to go and get this out of the way before I get the sermon started. Any of y'all that grew up in the 90s with me, when I read that, the first thing you thought of was, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life." Anybody else think that? Is that just me? Okay, sorry. That's where my mind goes every time. Sinners. Okay, four things I want you to get here from this. The first thing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The first thing is this. The Lord, our shepherd, okay? I think that David does a great reminder here. This is something Dr. Yates, I remember teaching us in college, that the Lord is our shepherd, and he provides rest and restoration for us. I think if you ever want to know what it looks like to meditate on Scripture, Psalm 23 is a great place to do this, okay? Because you can walk through this and go, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord, right? He's not a Lord, he's the Lord. And he's not just a shepherd, he's my shepherd, right? The Lord is not just the shepherd, he's my shepherd. I shall not want, right? Because the Lord, he's the Lord of all things. And this God who's the Lord of all things is also my shepherd. And because that's who he is, I shall not want. He's not just the shepherd, he's my shepherd. Jesus takes this language in John chapter 10 and reminds us of it. He said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep, now listen to them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves and the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must also bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is not just the shepherd, he's my shepherd, right? The second one, because he is both, okay, you gotta get this in mind. He's the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, he's over all things. And he is also my shepherd. Because that's who he is, the second point there is, he's gonna provide everything I truly need. I can trust that. Like, I can trust it because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? Like, I'm not gonna have need, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Philippians 4 says this, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." To our God and Father be glory forever and ever, right? The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Dr. Yonts, one of my favorite college professors, used to say this. This is your point there. My shepherd lets me rest, and sometimes he makes me rest. That's good, right? He lets me rest, right? And sometimes he makes me rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Like rest, and this is hard for me. I'm a type A person. I'm go, 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 okay? But rest is a discipline from God for us. It's a blessing from God for us. And if I don't rest on my own, guess what? Sometimes the good shepherd will make me lie down in green pastures. And when he does that, it's because he loves us, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Isaiah 40 says this. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And the last one there is, he restores my soul. The last point under that is, the shepherd is the only one that can restore our souls. And how does he restore our souls? By making us lie down in green pastures, by leading us beside still waters, to show us that he loves us and he is for us and he is working on our behalf, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Point number two, the shepherd guides us, protects us, and is with us in every valley. He guides us, he protects us, and he's with us in every valley. Right, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He goes on and says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First point under that is this. He guides us in right paths. Right? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So that he would be glorified in my life. Right? So that God would be glorified in my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Proverbs 3. If you don't have these verses memorized, you should memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths, or he will make your paths straight. Because it's what he does. The good shepherd, he guides us in right paths for his name's sake. 2, even in the valley of the shadow of death, right? He is with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. I can't tell you how many times. I don't want to say have to do this, get to do this. I don't know what the right word is, okay? I don't know that you've walked into hospice rooms of people who had loved ones dying very often, okay? That is a privilege that I get. It's not fun. It's not easy, but it's good, you know? I mean, it's good. I've told you this before. My mom passed away almost 13 years ago at hospice from pancreatic cancer. About 9 months after my mom died, there was another guy in our church whose mom was at hospice dying of pancreatic cancer. And I go out there to see them and pray with the family. And when I get there and sign into the book, they tell me what room she's in. And she was in the room that my mom had died in. All right? Let me tell you what. That's hard. That's hard. And I was like, put your big boy britches on, boy. We got to go. We got a job to do, you know? And so I compartmentalize my emotions like I'm very good at. And I go in there and I was able to tell them, hey, listen, this stinks. And I can promise you that as you walk through this valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear anything because God is with you here. I can testify to the fact, watching my own mom die in this very room, on the other side of this, God is with you. And he's going to be with you every step of the way, right? Like there's, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's nothing to fear who have the Lord as their shepherd, because he is with us, right? We can rest in that. He is always with us as we walk with him. Isaiah 41:10. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's always with us, no matter what. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, we have a shepherd who guides us, protects us, and is with us. Third point under that is this. His rod and his staff are tools that he uses to protect us, right, from the wolves, to correct us when we're wrong, and that should be a comfort to us, right? He's protecting us, he's correcting us, and when he protects us, when he uses the hook end of that shepherd's staff to correct us, he's being kind to us, right? He's comforting us. He's not going to let us stray too far. He's gonna use the pointy end of the shepherd's staff to keep the wolves away, and he's gonna use the hook end to bring us back where he needs us and where he wants us to be, right? His rod and his staff, the psalmist says, comforts us. The discipline of the Lord should be a comfort to us. The correction of the Lord, even though it might not feel good, we can rest and know that it is good, right? That he's comforting us, he's correcting us, he's protecting us, all of these things. Hebrews 12 talks about I was talking to a high school student about this a few weeks ago. The difference between punishment and discipline. Like, the Lord doesn't punish those whom he loves. Like, when the Lord disciplines us, it's not for punishment's sake. It's because he loves us. It's the difference, if you're a baseball guy, okay? It's the difference between working out and running poles, okay? Like, if your coach makes you run poles because you had, you know, 5 errors, that's punishment, okay? Working out in the weight room and getting stronger, that's discipline. Like, those are different things. The Lord does not punish us because he loves us. We're his children. But he does discipline us, and don't mistake discipline and punishment. The correction, the discipline that he gives us ought to be a comfort to us. Hebrews 12 says this, okay. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. Don't let God's discipline weary your soul. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Down in verse 11, it says this, for a moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. His rod and his staff, they comfort us, right? He's comforting us when he corrects us, when he protects us. Number 3, the shepherd honors us and satisfies us abundantly, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Right? That's this part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalm 27 says this. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies all around me. I will offer in his tent sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. This idea of God preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies is a picture of this. It's a picture of God honoring us. It's a picture of God providing for us. And it's a picture of God publicly saying he's in a relationship with us. We belong to him. Even in front of our enemies, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God is saying, this one is mine. I love him. I love her. I'm providing for them. God's saying, I'm going to cause you to feast. And think about it this way. Not when your problems go away. Not when your enemy goes away. Not when everything is right. Even in the presence of your enemies, I'm going to show you that I'm providing for you, that I love you, that you're mine. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The next point there is this. The anointing of the head and the overflowing cup is a picture of honor in the abundant blessings that God gives. God said, I'm anointing your head with oil. And your cup, when the good shepherd, who's the Lord, is providing for you, he doesn't provide part of the way. When you're his, your cup runneth over, okay? If you're a King James English person. Your cup overflows. I'm going to keep providing for you. John 10 says this. Jesus says, the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have life how? Abundantly. Now, this is not the prosperity gospel, okay? I'll punch you in the throat if you say it is, and not really. Want to. The abundant life is not necessarily talking about physical things, okay? Although it can be physical things at times. Not saying it's never that. But the abundant life is one that God provides for us mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all the things, okay? And when the Lord, who's our shepherd, provides for us, he provides for us abundantly. We can trust that, okay? We can rest in that. He anoints our heads with oil, and he provides for us abundantly. And then the last point here, verse 6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good news for us. The shepherd pursues us with goodness and mercy all the way home to heaven. Right? This is a promise. The reason why we can rest in what he says in verse 4 is because of the promise of verse 6. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, is good news because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right? This is the good news, that the shepherd pursues us. And I love this picture. The shepherd, the Lord, who's my shepherd, is pursuing us with goodness and mercy all the days of our life. And he's not going to stop until we make it to heaven. We can rest in that. Subpoint there is this. Goodness and mercy aren't just waiting on us when we get to heaven, although it is waiting on us when we get to heaven. But it's not just waiting on us there. God is actively following us with goodness and mercy right now. Right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me when? All the days of my life. Now, it's not something that's waiting on me. It's something he is hemming me in behind and before with. Right? That he's actively pursuing you and me with goodness, with mercy, all the days of our life. Lamentations 3, other verses you should memorize. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every single morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Right? Goodness and mercy aren't just waiting on us when we get to heaven, although they are waiting on us when we get to heaven. He is actively pursuing us with them right now. And then the last point is this. We will be with our good shepherd forever in heaven. You know, you've heard me say this in sermons. If you've ever been to a funeral that I've done, you've heard me say this as well. First time I ever said it was at my own mom's funeral. I stood up with just absolute assurance. And I said, Charlene Burrage is not dead. She's more alive today than she's ever been. You know why? Because her hope was in Jesus. And I've said it 100 times since, and I believe it with all my heart, though. You know why I believe it? Because verses like this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is a present thing that David is saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This beautiful picture that you and I, when we put our hope in the good shepherd who is the Lord, we will be with him forever in heaven. Jesus says this in John 14. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. And that's a good thing because sometimes our hearts can be troubled. Particularly when it comes to death. When we think about our own death or the death of a loved one, it's easy for us to slip into having a troubled heart, which is why the good shepherd says, let not your heart be troubled. Okay? Because he knows it can be troubled. He says, believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Right? And if it were not, I love Jesus' question. If that weren't true, if it weren't true that in my Father's house are many rooms, would I have told you that I'm going to go and prepare a place for you? No, I wouldn't tell you that. But it's true, right? In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And he goes on and says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, here's the good news. I'm not going to prepare a place for you that I'm going to leave vacant. Right? He's not building houses on the street that no one's ever going to move into. If I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Great news. Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us so that he's going to come back and get us, that where he is, we get to be as well, right? And I love, and he says, y'all know where I'm going, right? This is one of my favorite interactions in the whole Bible, right? This is the last week of Jesus' life. These guys have been following him for 3 years. He goes, I'm going to my Father's house. I'm going to get you a place ready, all right? I'm going to come back and get you. We're going to spend forever together. Y'all know where I'm going, right? Right? Thomas, heaven, yes. Thomas did not know that, okay? Makes me feel good about my following Jesus when I don't know that things, all right? Like when I'm a doofus sometimes. Thomas goes, where are you going? Could you drop us a pin? How are we supposed to know how to get there? How are we supposed to know the way, Jesus? You're going to your dad's house to get a place for us ready. Where's your dad's house? And Jesus says to him, very kindly, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, right? I'm the way to the Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, okay, I'm leaving. I need you to get this one right, right? From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. This is what the Good Shepherd has done for us, right? We will dwell with him forever. And so the only question is this. Have you put your faith in him? That's the only question. Are you trusting in Jesus for your salvation? If you are, the Lord is your shepherd. And all these things are yours. All these truths are yours in Jesus Christ. He's going to guide your paths. He's going to be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to give you all that you truly need. You're going to find real rest in him. All these things are true, but they find their yes and their amen in the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so the question is, have you put your faith in him? And if you haven't, man, what a great day to do it. A great day to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And he will save even you like he saved even me. Right? I mean, if you are a Christian, here's my prayer for you this week. Is that you would do what Dr. Yontz taught me to do. And just walk through this psalm and just remind yourselves of these truths. The Lord is my shepherd. Why then would I question anything? I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And my prayer for you is that you would see these truths of who he is and who you are in him, and you would be encouraged and renewed by it. Let's pray together. So Lord, thank you for, I'm so thankful for the psalm. Thankful for the truth of it. Thank you for the rest that it should provide for our hearts. Lord, I pray for anyone here that doesn't know Jesus. God, I pray that today they would put their hope in you. God, I pray that they would see you as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, and they would put their faith in you this morning. And for the Christian, God, I pray they're encouraged by this. I pray they're renewed by it, and I pray that they would see you as the good shepherd that you are. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.